your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Chasm Radio Farm Director Joe Gill. It's brought to you by Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon, the very best in trailers, skid steer attachments, and a whole lot more. That's all at Midsoda Manufacturing. And boy, oh boy, what a busy week and a very interesting, educational, entertaining week at Farm Fest. Our coverage this week brought to you by the Minnesota Farmers Union, Minnesota Corn Growers, Minnesota Pork, and the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council. And one of the many topics that was discussed was in regards to carbon and carbon sequestration. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I know very little. I know everything maybe on the surface, details, and I think I'm not the only one. After Farm Fest, I think we have a lot more questions than we do answers, but that's okay. The conversation was there in a panel featuring a lot of folks stemming all across agriculture. One of those folks, Tom Peterson, Minnesota Commissioner of Agriculture. And the question was posed with a carbon program. Is this something we could, you know, work in a public partnership like an NRCS or a SWCD? And Tom had these comments.
You know, I hope so. You know, I think that's really the important piece, you know, and I think this isn't something we've been doing like for years. I mean, this has been a long time effort. I've been involved in public policy for a long time. And I think that just sitting around looking at this room, you know, if you think about the importance of sequestration and the importance of Minnesota, you think about like the hypoxia zone, you think about our water, our lakes, the multiple benefits that this has. But all the things that we've had in Minnesota, whether it's like the Clean Water Legacy Act, you know, we've had things like Green Lands and Blue Water, the partnerships that we have, the things that we've gotten done in the state are done because of partnerships. And so the Soil and Water Districts, the NRCS, the companies, the farmers, you know, we have like successful models that we work on within our state. So I hope so, Jerry. I think that, you know, as we look at our congressional partners and what kind of things they might come bring down the pike, I think we're really looking at that, you know, policy of where the farmer fits in that is kind of how I'm interested in and how we have this discussion today.
Also on the panel is Steve Comerford from the New Ulm area, a crop consultant, and he gave his insight into this carbon market, and he had a real big question on how to quantify carbon, how to measure, and this and that. He had a lot of good questions on the panel.
I just want to make a couple comments relative to that. And one is I from just what was mentioned here, I find it interesting that how are we quantifying this? We're talking about dry matter out here, the amount of stover. We're talking about the carbon. We're talking about is it the total amount with the moisture. There's, if we don't come to a consensus of what we're describing here, we're going to have mayhem out there. The other one is the issue of, well, we're quantifying this in the organic matter. I challenge anybody to be able to quantify organic matter changes that have occurred. That is a challenge of science. I allude to it as my reference to a BB, like measuring a BB in a boxcar. The changes that occur with carbon in the soil are at a level that is basically relates to that analogy. It'd be like measuring the changes that a BB in a boxcar would have when you're measuring it with a grain scale at an elevator. I don't think it can be done. And right now the technology is not there to do it. Depends on the fractions, the type of carbon that are in the soil. So we have to have a different mechanism rather than saying, oh, we got to change in organic matter, because our methods of measuring that are not accurate enough in any shape or form to be doling out some dollars because you did this. What happens if you go the opposite way because just the nature of the variation of the test that occurs? Then who's accountable for that?
Some comments from Steve Comerford of Comerford Agronomics Incorporated out of New Ulm. Additional comments from John Reed, a beef producer near the Bruton area, and he has had some experience in this carbon market, carbon kind of topic. He gave some insight and details on how he's been involved.
We got, I guess you'd say, into this through the Nature Conservancy. We were trying to gather more land to bring our son into the operation, and costs are just too prohibitive for what they'll produce. But the Nature Conservancy was willing to purchase a grazing easement, which took quite a bit of the financial burden off us and allowed us to keep it as grazing land, not plow it, not develop it, which was our goal anyway. And then all these pluses come up. Carbon sequestration is part of them. I think people underestimate and the value, the potential for carbon sequestration in grasslands. I read an article, they said 20% of the total U.S. carbon emissions could be sequestered with regenerative grazing in this country. That's a huge amount. From 1,000 to 2,000 pounds we probably got sequestered right now by improving soil health, getting deeper rooted plants, rotational grazing, improving the health of the soil. There's a potential for 10 to 20,000 tons of carbon sequestration.
So talking carbon at Farm Fest and a lot of great topics and conversation. Also, another theme I pulled out from Farm Fest this year was the encouragement of many ag leaders to you to get involved visibly and also vocal. We need to do that if we want agriculture to succeed. Kevin Papp, he's outgoing president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau, had a few things to share in his final comments on the panel this week at Farm Fest.
Number one, be a member. You got to be a member. You've got to be engaged. You've got to be part of that process. But number two, and probably more important, don't be that member that leaves it up to the leaders. I mean, as your leaders in agriculture, we will do everything and anything we can to get those points across. But it really takes the people. It takes the constituents. It takes the noise. You need to show up. You need to stand up. You need to speak up. And you need to talk with those folks. I'm not sure what is getting done in Washington, D.C. this week for Minnesota agriculture. I'm willing to bet pretty much nothing. Do you know why that is? Because almost all of our congressional offices, including our two senators, have got staff here at Farm Fest all 3 days listening and things like that. You need to engage. You need to find out who to talk to, who to give your ideas to. But don't leave it up to your leaders. This is going to be a farm bill, and we're going to have a lot of other issues, taxes, transportation, you name it, that's going to take a lot of phone calls, emails, visits to those town halls to understand this is a really big deal in agriculture. So become a member, don't leave it to the leaders, and engage.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. Busy week, and we'll have additional Farm Fest coverage next week here on Chasm Radio. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report, once again brought to you by Mid-Soda Manufacturing. Have a great weekend.